This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
He's here, he's just not at his microphone yet. And you, sign in, host, please.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology.
Yeah, we're playing games is what we're doing.
I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
You need to put, and I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi. Good morning.
Oh my goodness, what is wrong with, oh yeah, here we go. There we are, now we're set. We were off playing Space Wars.
Okay.
And I lost track of the time.
Yeah,
well, we're having a great time here in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. And
well, it's spring break after
we're going to be featuring the man who wrote the code for the first video game, Space Wars.
Okay.
And we've been practicing on how to play it. Actually, it was like a fun week in technology. Again, of course, the big cell phone duels are out.
Yep.
Everybody's trying to figure out what's the best cell phone to buy. That's going to be an ongoing discussion. And today we're going to talk about Mother's Day gifts.
Oh, good. Well, that's coming up.
Now, this is Mother's Day gift for the techie mother. So there are some things that...
It's weird. Easter is so late this year that it is tough to realize that, you know, 2 weeks after Easter is Mother's Day.
It is. And now... The week that I know you've been waiting for, Jim, for 11 years, the Triple X domain is finally live.
That's good. I'm so happy to hear that.
And I'm going to talk about the guy behind it and how much he plans to make from it. There you go. Yeah. And, you know, the iPhone has just been in the news because they've got this secret file that tracks where you are.
Uh-huh.
And we'll talk about what you can
find.
But apparently
they're not the only one.
No, everybody does.
Doesn't the Google version of the phone have something?
The Android does. They all have something. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about how they can get at that information and what the police are doing. This is the weekend of the big meteor shower.
Uh-huh.
So
this is when they stay clean.
Yeah, I hope that it's not too cloudy tonight or you're not going to see them because it's a great, great show. And I've got a great book of the week, Start With Why. I love this book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a lot of lessons on technology, and it gives you the clue about why is Apple so successful. And because they start with why. We'll talk about that. And many other things. But now, it is time for...
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Yes. He was ready. He had his headphones
he
on.
He did.
What's your
excuse? Was ready to go. I didn't have my headphones on. I wasn't in my chair.
No, you weren't. You were nowhere near where you needed to be.
I was completely... out of Tech Talk control, but now I'm back in the seat and under control.
I'm so happy.
We have an email from Jim from Bowie. Dear Tech Talk, thanks for the advice on the short-term battery life on the HTC Thunderbolt. He actually listed himself as a long-term listener from Bowie last week, and he'd ask about this HTC Thunderbolt, and I talked about the very short battery life, 1.5 hour battery life running on the 4G network. So he said, okay, I'm going to rethink this. And he said, well, it's clear that the Apple iPhone is a better option. He wants to get a Verizon iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the Motorola Droid X? I've read a lot about positive things about the Motorola Droid X. It seems to put it on about par, even better for some things than the Apple iPhone. What's your take on the iPhone for my wife? As opposed to the Droid X for me. Now, my wife is not a techie like me. Thanks, Jim in Bowie. Well, Jim, I think your wife would like the iPhone much better. She's not a techie. It's much more intuitive to use. It produces actually much better pictures than the Android. It has much better playback because it's got, of course, an iPod built into it. You can put your whole iPod library on it. And the iPhone actually has better battery life than the Droid X. So that's if you are on minimal use of the cell phone, they said the iPhone will last for a day and a half if you're not really using it. It's kind of on standby mode. And the Droid X will last about a day. So it's got about 50% better battery life. Now, so I think your wife would actually like the iPhone better.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the Droid is open source, has Google navigation, is very, very configurable. It's an excellent phone for techies. So I think you may enjoy the Droid X. Now, one other thing, the iPhone supports video chat, and this is really cool. It has a front-facing camera. It has two cameras, front-facing, rear-facing, and you can call, make a call, and you can actually do a video call with the iPhone using this. They call it FaceTime as the application. It is a very cool application. It's almost like, it's almost like webcamming with your iPhone. Now, of course, all that FaceTime requires a Wi-Fi connection, but that is a wonderful application. Now, on the final note, since you're going with Verizon, these support only CDMA. There's no GSM in them. Now, it's not dual mode. The iPhone is not dual mode, neither is the Droid X. Now, I expect the next iPhone from Verizon will be dual mode, and it will support both CDMA and GSM. Now, the reason I believe that's true is that people have taken the iPhone 4 apart, and the radio that's in it is actually a dual-band radio. It supports both GSM as well as CDMA. But Apple simply didn't hook up the GSM portion of it. There's no SIM card slot, and there's no antenna for it. So it doesn't support it now, but you certainly could expect it to support it sometime in the future. So I don't think it's worth waiting 6 months to get it, and I'd say you just ought to go get your iPhone for your wife and get that Droid X for yourself.
There you go.
Now, we got an email from Margaret. Dear Dr. Schertz, I'm experiencing a lag in the arrival time of my email and the arrival time of my emails at work, and discussed this with the IT support team. You know, this is always a problem. I told them
I'm just thinking about the little slogan we came up for our IT support team at work.
Now, how do you do that? What is your?
You can't spell something without IT anyway.
So they looked at it and they said, well, let's see, we got the same problem tomorrow. See, I'm actually receiving my emails about an hour and a half later. See, I wouldn't have noticed it, but some of my coworkers get the email in faster than me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same email, and, you know,
there's something wrong.
There's something wrong. Well, actually, you didn't give me all the information that I need. I need to know what kind of client you have. Because there's actually, when you're logged on, there's a synchronization between your client and the server. And you may have it set up to only receive new emails or only check for emails on the server every 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, you're going to sit there and think the email's not there. It's going to be a 30-minute delay because it simply hasn't synchronized.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've got a POP account, you can always go to that, click that send receive button, and that will do the synchronization right away. So I would check for the synchronization time, particularly if your friends are getting the same email. That's what I suspect is actually your problem. And you can just force your synchronization just by pressing the button send and receive. We got an email from Led by Brain. It's an interesting name.
Okay.
Dear Dr. R. Shirts.
That sounds like a form letter.
Yeah. Dear Dr. R. Shirts. Yeah. I own a Sony Walkman that's a combo AM/FM radio analog TV player that I use while riding my bike.
Mm-hmm.
The radio still works, but now that TV has gone digital, TV doesn't work.
Right.
The closest thing that I can find that could replace this old Sony Walkman is a Philips portable digital HDTV with FM tuner for $94. Now, Phillips said it won't work when I'm moving around on my bike. Somebody else told me that existing TV standards won't work when the TV is moving, and that there's a mobile TV standard in development, but it isn't out yet. Do you have any information on this? Well, you know, I checked into this. There is a new standard to connect HDTV to mobile devices.
Mm-hmm.
But that's got nothing to do with digital TV.
Mm-hmm.
And that new standard is going to come. So you can actually plug your cell phone with a combination USB HDMI standard. And then you can plug your cell phone into HDTV. I think that's what you were talking about, HDTV for mobile. That standard's not out yet, but that's not really a digital standard for broadcast television. Now, when I checked on this, I just can't imagine that there's anything technically why you can't move while you're in HDTV mode, because you're basically picking up a signal. Now, the problem with HDTV, it's very signal-to-noise intensive. It doesn't degrade gradually.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get below a certain signal noise, it just cuts off. And the antennas tend to be a little bit directional.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suspect that we're talking about antenna directionality and other factors like that when you're riding your bike and moving around and changing the angle of the item. I don't think there's anything in the standard itself, because it's just actually a signal that doesn't have spatial information in it that would preclude you from actually moving if you can maintain the same signal to noise.
I was thinking that would be exactly the problem. If you get a bad spot where the signal is, you're going to lose the picture.
You'd lose the picture, and I think the digital signal tends to be more spotty. It's in terms of its reception. I mean, when I get it around the house, I've got to be very careful where I am. I've walked around to measure my signal strength in the house, and it is very spotty. So I think that's the issue. So maybe you could mount some kind of TV or some sort of antenna on your bicycle, and you could plug it into that antenna.
Well, that would look pretty kooky. It would
look a little kooky, but I think that would be the solution rather than a different device.
See, I was just thinking about, first of all, you're going to need a converter box.
Yeah.
For this thing.
You need the converter box. I mean, they've got HD radio. They've got you can have HD radio in your car, and you can move it around. It's just signal to noise strength.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think this whole thing about standards for mobile is something else. So I hate to tell you just to buy it and see, but that's what I'd probably do.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it and see if it doesn't work.
I'd
sell it on eBay. Yeah. Oh yeah. Get a good refund policy. Test it out. If it doesn't work, send it back. That's not such a good advice, but the best I've got.
Well, if it's not what you wanted to do, that's what return policies are for.
That's right. I've got an email from Robert Tyler, Dr. Schertz. Last year, I upgraded my computer, which came with Windows Vista 64, to Windows 7 64-bit. I used a clean install. But I did the clean install using the Windows 7 upgrade disk. If I ever have to replace my hard drive, can I use the Windows 7 upgrade to put Windows 7 on the new drive? In other words, will this upgrade just act like a full copy of Windows 7? Now, my wife's running a laptop that has Windows 7 64-bit. Could she use this Windows 7 upgrade to put Windows 7 on her computer if she ever had to replace her hard drive? Her computer came with recovery disk. Could she use these if she couldn't use my Windows 7 upgrade? Thank you for such an educational and informative and entertaining show. The quality of the podcast you and Jim Russ produce is remarkable. I look forward to it each week, Robert Tyler.
That's very nice.
Very nice. Thank you. Well, some people have reported. I looked at this thing. There have been varied results on this. Actually, I've been very successful when I've used an upgrade disk for an operating system, and it's just done it as a full install. It's always worked for me, although some people say that it has not worked for them. So it really depends on what sort of Microsoft's policy is. I would just say try it. It looks like it worked for you. You did a clean install, but if there were still remnants of your old Vista system on there, it might have looked for it, but I suspect not. Now, as to whether you can, when you do a clean install, you're going to have to have the license code, of course, so you can activate the Windows operator. It'll have to be required activation. If you do just an upgrade, it gets all the licensing and the activation from the old system, but if you do a clean install, you'll have to provide that. And that actually helps Microsoft protect them from you installing something without authorization. Now, mm-hmm. as to whether your wife could use it, she could probably use the same disk if she had a separate and her own license code from the other machine, because the software itself doesn't really care. But it just is going, and the software itself, or the software disk itself does not really contain the license code, because it's basically for a clean install. I'd probably try the clean install rather than using the recovery disk, because they have all of the crapware and everything else on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Robert. Robert is a long-term listener, and I certainly do like his emails.
Yes, that was very nice. I was thinking about a couple of things.
Okay.
I had a few spare minutes.
Yes.
You know what you haven't done recently that would be cool if you get a chance and you don't get arrested doing it is one of your Cantenna reports.
Oh, yeah. I'll go around and do that.
That'd be fun, because I just remember how interesting it was to hear, particularly in the high rent district, how many people are running Wi-Fi that's unprotected.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do that for the next show. I have this, I hooked this antenna, which I call it a Cantenna. It's a 12 dB antenna, which is sort of like it's like a flashlight beam antenna, and I hook it up to my laptop, and I go around and I look for a wireless access points, and then I have a log file that logs whether they're encrypted or not encrypted, and I can give a security report.
Yeah,
and,
I think these are very informative and interesting.
I'll do that. Usually between my house and the station, I pass by around 850 to 1,000 access points. And I'll run statistics on that next week.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Okay, I'll do that.
I was riding the metro last night, the above ground portion, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, and I look around, and it just hits me. How many people have and are using some sort of electronic device? On my half of the train, where everybody was readily visible to me, there were 15 people. 10 of them were either listening to an iPod or some sort of music, were texting somebody, or surfing the web on some sort, or reading a Kindle. 10 people. 3 of them were doing nothing. I was one of them most of the time. I did check my email twice. And one person was reading a hard copy of something, a magazine. But
It's a shift.
It's a definite shift in paradigm. Nobody's reading the newspaper on the train.
No.
There's one person reading it. And even if they were, somebody was doing some work, they had an iPod in.
That's
even
right.
Even if they're working on a hard copy of something, they were listening to some music.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, people have just shifted from the print media. We used to advertise at Stratford University and the Washington Post all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We finally stopped all advertising there because we caught nobody calling the school because nobody looks at the paper anymore.
I know. It's truly amazing.
It
but
is.
It's sometimes it's these little moments in life that just kind of hit
yes.
you. I think, well, at least they hit me. Let's take a break. This is Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. We will be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University in our proper seats this time. And now
yes.
It is time for
IT.
Yes, we're going to be discussing Steve and R. Slug Russell. Slug was his nickname.
His parents didn't actually.
No, he's actually Stephen R. Russell, and his friends called him Slug. He led the team of MIT programmers who created Space War, the first computer video game. Stephen was born in 1937 and received a Bachelor of Science from Dartmouth College in 1958, and then he immediately enrolled in the graduate electrical engineering program at MIT. He sort of ganged around with two other guys, and they actually spent a lot of time in a barely habitable tenement on Hingham Street in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Very nice.
And they named their little tenement the Hingham Institute. As though, and they were all fellows of the Hingham Institute.
Very nice.
The three fellows of the Hingham Institute was, of course, Stephen Slug Russell. He was a specialist in steam trains, trivia, and artificial intelligence. The second one was Wayne Widenen. He was a mathematician, early music buff, and mountain climber. And J. Martin Gretz. He was the third guy. They were also all members of the Tech Model Railroad Club. Now, they had heard that there was going to be a brand new computer coming into MIT that was going to be donated by DEC. So even before the computer arrived, the Hingham Institute decided to do brainstorming sessions to decide what kind of program should be written that would demonstrate the power of this new computer.
The Hingham Institute.
The Hingham Institute. I just love that.
That's funny.
In the fall of 1961, the day finally arrived, and PDP-1 was installed in the kludge room, they called it, of the triple of the electrical engineering department.
These guys on a whole different plane than the rest of us, aren't they?
The PDP-1 was an early DEC computer. DEC, of course, stands for Digital Equipment Corporation. It was an interactive mini computer with a cathode ray tube display and a keyboard input. Very advanced. The cathode ray tube was actually, I mean, it was round. It was a round output, you know, with the green, sort of the green trace marks on it. And so they, now see, MIT, DEC had donated this to MIT in the hopes that MIT's think tank would be able to do something remarkable with their product. A game called Space War was probably the last thing that DEC expected.
Wow.
So the Hingham Institute, when the thing came in, Russell, convened the group from the Hingham Institute, and they went about trying to figure out what would come up. It turns out that the group had just finished reading a series of science fiction stories by E.E. Smith. He was a Ph.D., actually, and they just finished reading the Lensman series. And these stories were about people that were going out and conquering the world, you know, by traveling around space, all kinds of space fights, space challenges, I'll shoot them up all over the place. And so they decided what better program to write than Space War. So they sort of came up with the idea. Russell began coding immediately. Now, see, this thing came in the fall of 1961, and by February 1962, he'd produced the first version of Space War. It took approximately 2 hours for him to create the initial version. Now, he didn't come up with all the game concepts. The Hingham Institute fellows came up with the game concepts, but he actually wrote the first coding of it. So he was the person who wrote the code for the first computer game. Now, it actually involved two spaceships, and there was the gravitational field of a star. And these two spaceships are on opposite sides of the star, and you have two keys. The A and the ST could control the direction that the rocket ship was pointing. The D key would control the thruster, and you'd use the thruster to try to avoid the gravitational field of the star, and you try to use that thruster so the star wouldn't pull you in. And then you try to point your rocket at the other rocket and use the F key to fire a projectile and kill the other guy. But of course, while you're shooting the other guy, you've actually turned the rocket around, so the thruster can't keep you out of the field, gravitational field of the star. So you got to immediately turn back around to kind of get away from the star. So I played with this thing. I have to say, I'm not very good.
Neither am I.
I think I need some more practice. You have the Space Wars up there. There's actually a Space War simulation. You can go to spacewar.oversigma.com, and you can play this thing, spacewar.oversigma.com. We've been playing it. Jim is over there trying to. In fact, at the beginning of the show, when I wasn't in the seat, I was over there.
Jim
and I were trying to play Space War. Sorry for that snafu.
That's okay.
Now, Space War taught a crucial lesson in interactive programming.
Oops.
It showed how to talk to a computer and have the computer answer back. Space War was unquestionably the first video game to gain widespread recognition and generally recognized as the first of the shoot-em-up gender. Steve Russell wrote, now he went on, Steve Russell was really interested in artificial intelligence. He went on to write two implementations of Lisp for the IBM 704. He realized that universal functions could be applied to the language. He implemented the LISC universal evaluator in a lower level language, and it became possible to create a Lisp interpreter. Mm-hmm. So he was really quite innovative in sort of Lisp programming. Russell went on to specialize in tools for artificial intelligence and did research at Stanford University. And he worked for a company, Noha, a Silicon Valley company that made computer debugging tools. As of May 2006, there is only one working PDP-1 known to be in existence, at the Computer History Museum, and a version of the PDP-1 source code and an emulation of SpaceWars is available on the web, and you can go to spacewar.oversigma.com to see this simulation. As a final note, Russell never profited from SpaceWars.
But yeah, I'm not shocked.
But it turned out that when he went to California then, Atari picked up. So some of his ideas ultimately migrated to Atari and a lot of the gaming. And he did make money testifying at trials in patent disputes regarding Atari and other people. So he did make a little bit of money because people were trying to patent things that actually they had developed as part of Space Wars and it couldn't be patentable. But he's quite an unassuming guy. There's actually some videos of him on the web operating the PDP-1 at the Computer History Museum. The computer code is actually on paper tape, and it's with holes in it. So they run the paper tape through, and you see him on this thing. First of all, he runs the paper tape through, and they have a program that plays some classical music, some Beethoven thing using sort of computer-sounding noise. And then they ran through another tape, and then they had Space Wars.
The funny face you're seeing here is that I'm trying to play this game. The problem is that you're being sucked into the gravitational field of a star.
Yeah.
And the thruster is really not strong enough. Once
if you get too close,
if you get
too close to the star, the thruster can't save you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal. And so you've got to basically
really difficult.
It is quite difficult. I played it last night, and then finally I said, okay, I think I'm going to come down, and you're probably going to have to show me how it's done, Jim.
I can't figure it out. Well, I know the idea. I just can't actually do it very well.
So that's if you want to try, go to spacewar.oversigma.com, and that's all I've got to say about Stephen R. Slug Russell, the man who wrote the first computer video game.
It's like trying to outrun a Ferrari with a Ford Pinto. It doesn't work very well. You're listening to Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Hope you're paying attention to Profiles in IT, because in just mere moments, you'll have a chance to win a fabulous prize based on that previous experience. The number to call in just a moment is 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. Stay tuned. Tech Talk continues right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, 5 of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for America's favorite new game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's the host and star of our show. It's not Bob Barker. It's not Rosie O'Donnell. No, it's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
This is a radio show that also serves as a classroom.
You cut me off at the pass.
I know.
See, the inside joke is I keep disputing the fact that this isn't a radio show.
I know, but
it is.
It is. I know. Many people would say it's not a radio show, but we're doing our best to make it look like it's a radio show. And so earlier in the show, we were talking about Stephen R. Slug Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's the man who wrote the first computer video game, Space War. And he wrote it on a computer which was called the PDP-1, which had been donated by DEC Computer. When the PDP-1 was donated to the Electrical Engineering Department at MIT, it was installed in a particular room.
Mm-hmm.
What was the nickname of that room?
Yep. It was a funny name. We were laughing about it.
Yeah, it's a funny name. If you get the right answer to that name, you'll win two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room. Of course, you can reach us by going to Skype,
yes.
Tech Talk Radio 1, and simply add that to your contacts. You can contact us there. That's forwarded directly to the phones here at the studio. And there's like an old technology way too, Jim. And how? What
yeah,
is that?
That would be you pick up this thing called the telephone, and
oh,
you would call
yes.
us. So if you're calling from west of the Rockies, it's 877-936-9333. Locally, you can call us at 877-936-9333. Once again, that's 877-936-9333. Dial carefully. It's early. You don't want to annoy your neighbors.
Jim, this is the week we've been waiting for. The Triple X domains have finally gone live.
Okay.
This is like that you've been waiting for.
Oh,
now,
thanks.
Now, the first Triple X domain name addresses went live on the internet this week. It actually started almost 11 years ago that this extension was first proposed. Of course, the .xxx domain is reserved for adult-only sites porn sites.
Uh-huh.
They've already created a couple of sites that actually are safe for at-work viewing because they explain how you can get your domain name. So you can go to porn.xxx or sex.xxx, and that takes you to the ICM registry, which tells you how to sign up for your domain name. Now, the ICM registry also has sites, icm.xxx and icmregistry.xxx. Now, they plan to offer a sunrise period during which trademark holders can protect their brands and porn webmasters can secure their XXX domains starting in September so somebody can't hop in and steal your really great name.
Oh, that's great. I'm so happy.
I'm glad they're doing it. Now, of course, XXX, I mean, I think it's not a bad idea to have this because it makes it very easy to block porn. If
it's
all going to be an XXX, like, for instance, already India and Saudi Arabia have reported that they're going to block the entire XXX namespace.
Wow.
So it makes it easy to do. Now,
good thing we don't live there.
Now, the retail price of the XXX domain is likely to be around $70 per year, with $60 going to the registry and its sponsoring organizations. This has outraged many porn webmasters who are accustomed to .com fees of only $10 per year. Nonetheless, ICM has received pre-reservations for roughly 600,000 unique domain names, making the XXX domain potentially a $30 million a year business. ICANN will take about a $2 kickback from every domain name sold. ICM was funded largely by its president, Stuart Lawley, who's invested close to $20 million pushing the XXX through the ICANN process over the last several years. Much of it spent on legal fees. I saw he was quoted in an article. He says, "I am thrilled that this is finally released."
Wow.
So Stuart Lawley, he spent $20 million. He's going to get back $30 million the first year.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy's going to make a lot of money on the XXX domain name. And so I know you wanted me to track this, Jim. So I'm keeping you and the listeners up to date on all of this.
You know, second week in a row, we've got everybody stumped. We don't have a winner yet. So... again, the question is, where was this? Where was Slug Russell? Actually, was it his? It was MIT's computer that was.
The DEC computer was donated to MIT. It was the PDP-1 was donated to MIT, and it was put in the blank room. Starts with a K.
Right, and it's not the Hingham Institute, which is the other goofy name we talked about.
No, the Hingham Institute.
The other goofy.
The
name.
Hingham Institute was just too easy, so we couldn't do that.
877-936-9333.
Now,
once again.
Okay.
877-936-9333. 9333. Just in case people are like having peeps overload the day before Easter, yes. Their brains just are, you know, miswired.
The iPhone tracking file was revealed this past week. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that big story?
No.
What it is,
I did.
Discovered that the iPhone 4 was actually recording all your location data and putting it into a secret file. Well, here's actually the facts on it. If you're running iOS, iOS 4, your location-based data, latitude, longitude, coordinates, coupled with timestamps, is stored on your phone in a file called consolidated.db.
Mm-hmm.
That file is automatically transferred to any machine to which you sync and back up, and is probably flowing back up to Apple in some way or another. If you haven't encrypted your backups, then the data is unprotected. Now, there's no confirmation that this data is leaving your custody and no evidence that Apple's harvesting it toward any nefarious ends. But more than likely, Apple is planning to do something with it relating to marketing. Something,
you would think.
Something to help the consumer.
Right. And help the consumer get rid of some more money.
Now, if you want to stop at all, you can actually disable location services. And then that would be disabled. But the data is far from precise, actually. In fact, the Apple's data collection is both inconsistent and imprecise. Rather than using GPS, location information logged in the consolidated DB file is determined by triangulation via cell phone towers, which is a notoriously inaccurate way to pin down locations. And the update times are basically random. They're kind of left to the whims of you get into contact with another cell phone tower or you make a call. And so the update times are like, fairly erratic. So I don't think this is going to be that dangerous of a file to have. But, but I think that Apple should probably have revealed it to the clients, and I think they're doing exactly the wrong thing by remaining silent. As the thing came out.
Okay, guess what? Finally, I'm a little disappointed in everybody. I'm just going to say that.
Okay,
it's 2 weeks in a row we're having trouble here.
This is what I think. I think there are just too many Bloody Marys going on. You see, I think our listeners get up in the morning,
uh-huh.
They start drinking Bloody Marys, getting ready for Tech Talk.
Well, we can't even get somebody from Washington. We have somebody from Marietta, Georgia on the phone.
Okay,
this
now Julie, there we go.
Are you in Marietta, Georgia right now, Julie? Wait a minute. Here we go. Julie, you there?
I'm here.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
Now, are you calling us in Marietta, Georgia this morning?
Yes, I am.
How are you listening to us?
On the internet.
Wow. How did you find out about us? Do you have any business up here? You ever come to D.C. or?
No, I have a friend in D.C.
Ah, and she told you about the show? She or he?
He.
Wow. Cool. Okay.
Very good.
Excellent. We have curious minds here.
Yes. Okay. Earlier in the show, we were talking about Slug. Russell, who actually wrote the first computer game, and was written on the PDP-1, which was donated by Deck Computer to the MIT EE department. Where was the PDP-1 installed? What room was it installed in the EE department?
I have no idea. You got me on that one.
We have in the comment section on the computer here that you have the right answer. It starts with a K. No guesses.
KLUDGE.
Kludge room.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I play this then. We have a winner.
We have a winner.
I guess
we have a winner. We're going to declare a winner from all the way from Georgia. You win two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room. Just stay on the line and give your name and address to Andrew.
Julie, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for playing along with us. And,
thank you.
Andrew will get your information. Oh my God! I think my head's going to explode.
That's right.
You're listening to Tech Talk on Federal News Radio. At least that's what I think this is supposed to be. This is 1500 AM in Washington, 820 AM in Frederick, 107.7 FM in Northern Virginia, 103.5 FM HD2, also in Washington, D.C. And whatever this mess is, we'll be right back right after this.
It's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different. With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed. Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University talking technology.
At least I think that's
you know,
where we are.
On this space war, I think if you kind of get a trajectory that's parabolic, that so you're not going straight at the star,
that's probably
then you
good,
let
yeah.
your trajectory carry you through, and then you have more ability then to fire your missiles at the other guy.
I'm going to
I think we're trying to figure out the strategy here, and I did improve slightly over the break.
It seems like the key is to try to figure out where the point of no return is around this star. If you can operate outside of that area, then you're going to be okay.
But right. I think the key is if you get a parabolic trajectory and don't go straight in. I think that's your best, and you let your movement protect you that way.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Okay, let's talk about Mother's Day because that's May 8th, and you know things are coming up, and you know moms now are expecting high tech gifts. You know, you can't just get some little flower deal anymore. You got to get something significant.
High flower.
That's right. So Mother's Day was made actually an official holiday. Did you know this? By Woodrow Wilson. In 1914.
I did know that it was an act of the president.
That's right. And there was a woman who had actually fought for this for many, many years. And ultimately, when it became another hallmark event, she regretted that she had done it, because she said it just became so commercialized. But she had fought for it for many years and became an official holiday in 1914. And these are some suggestions for Mother's Day who wants some smart item. The Apple iPad is a very nice. Now, the iPad makes a great gift for a tech-savvy mom. You can put books on it. You can put recipes on it. You can actually, with the Wi-Fi connection or the 3G connection, you can surf the web. Now, of course, smartphones are the way to go.
Yeah.
Get an iPhone or get one of these new Android X's. And they can be purchased for as little as $50. If you want to get the iPhone, say, from Verizon, it's $199. And that'd make a great Mother's Day gift, especially if you can combine it with the normal renewal of the cell phone plan. An internet radio receiver is quite nice, you know? You can get tabletop models for as little as $100, and what they'll do, they'll connect you to your Wi-Fi connection at home, and you've got radios from radio reception from around the world. That's really
That's
kind of a neat
really
deal.
A cool idea, yes.
Now, also, some people that really like, you could get the Kindle Wi-Fi. This is great for reading on the go and surfing the web. See, what they did, they added Wi-Fi to the Kindle, and they have a browser so you can actually surf with it. So it's kind of a cheap version of what the iPad might be. So people that like the Kindle layout, the way that you can buy books on the Kindle might like the Kindle Wi-Fi. Now, of course, digital photo frames are always great. Moms are always trying to load family pictures. They want to have pictures up. And the prices are dropping really fast on these digital photo frames. So you could actually get an 8x10 photo frame, pick some of your favorite pictures of the family, and give that to mom as a Mother's Day gift. And the final item that moms really like this year is the Xbox Kinect. Because there are all kinds of exercise videos. You can do bowling. Now, or you might want to get the Wii. Now, the Wii, of course, has the accelerometer built into it. Some people had a problem when they were, like, you know, playing tennis with the Wii. They would let it go and fling the Wii at the TV set and break the TV set.
Or break their hand on something.
Well, they ended up putting a restraining strap on the Wii because there were so much things being damaged by Wii controllers being thrown out there. Now, the Kinect, you don't have a controller. It just reads your movements of your body. So this Xbox connector, the Wii, are very good gifts for Mother's Day. So there are just a few ideas for Mother's Day gifts. And, and here's the nice thing.
Yeah.
If you get a gift like this for Mom, Dad probably can use it too.
That's true.
It's kind of the sneaky kind of Mother's Day gift.
It is a sneaky kind of
Mother's Day
gift.
That has kind of a dual purpose.
Right.
So,
but I think the words TV and restraining strap should not be used in the same sentence.
No, that's exactly true. Yes, indeed.
Tell you what, we're a little behind. Let's take a short break here.
Okay.
Right back. This is Tech Talk, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. More of our show right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. Let's talk about your digital fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the police like to call your cell phone or your smartphone.
Yes.
With the right tools and physical access to your smartphone, anybody, including the police, can tap into the private details of your life. Your texts, your photos, your tweets, your Facebook ramblings, your doctor's appointments, and now the coordinates of your travel.
Yikes.
People are addicted to their cell phones, so this is the freshest and most valuable information available about somebody. Even before researchers this week disclosed that the location tracking file had been found on the iPhone, investigators had been collecting data from this on the Apple smartphone for a long time. Data from iPhones includes call logs, map search results, all kinds of stuff, and every key that's been typed into your iPhone's virtual keyboard. Now, Apple, ignored repeated requests for comment on the tracking file. I think they made a mistake with that. Privacy advocates have been warning about harvesting of data from anyone's phone without their permission is another step down an already troubling path. In addition to the iPhone tracking file, it's been revealed that Apple's iPhone and Google's Androids regularly transmit location data back to those two companies. For years now, investigators have had a much better idea than the phone owners of what data they can harvest from a consumer's phone. Investigators using a forensic mining tool that costs $199 called iRecovery. Some officers, when they pull you over for a speeding ticket, are asking for your cell phone, and they do a real-time scan of the data.
Yeah, to see if you've been texting while you were driving, right?
But here's my advice. Actually, to scan your cell phone, I believe, requires a warrant. And you don't really have to turn that over.
Yeah.
They're just hoping that you will turn it over. So
police station right across the street.
Yeah,
I hope they're not listening to us.
I think we are moving into an area that is really where rights could be violated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's exactly what they're doing. They're actually scanning the cell phone and they're looking. And the thing is, if this location tracking gets accurate, they might even be able to infer speed from your GPS connections. I don't think it's accurate enough yet. So I think you really better be careful, or maybe if you're pulled over, take and put your cell phone on the floor.
Or hide it somewhere.
Hide it so that...
Just don't be obvious about it.
So there you go. That's a little warning for the for the timid.
That's in the Tech Talk Legal Department.
Tech Talk Legal Department. The meteor showers this weekend. The Lyrid meteor shower will reach its peak this weekend. Unfortunately, it's going to be too stinking cloudy outside.
I think it is.
Between 10 and 20 meteors per hour can be visible under ideal conditions. So I suggest you just drive to where it's not raining. Light from the moon could interfere with these observations. Just hop in the plane and go down to Florida. You're advised to watch in the hours just before dawn to get the best views of the shooting stars. The radiance or source of the shower will be located near Vega, a bright star which is hard to miss. Binoculars are not required. In fact, experts say the naked eye is best for watching the meteors. This shower is caused when the Earth passes through a trail of debris left by the comet Thatcher. So it's going to be a great, great weekend. The website of the week. I love this website. SingularityHub.com. SingularityHub.com. The Singularity Hub is a blog and news network covering the latest in robotics, genetics, longevity, artificial intelligence, aging, stem cells, and more. The Singularity, of course, is based on a book by Ray Kurzweil, The Singularity is Near. And the singularity is a point in mankind's future when we will transcend current intellectual and biological limitations and initiate intelligence and information beyond what is imagining. In other words, when computers become smarter than men. According to the website, the impossible is becoming possible. The future that you thought could not come in your lifetime is coming sooner than you thought. The Singularity Hub is here to tell you about it. This is a great website. It's got all kinds of news about robotics and things. I really enjoy looking at this. SingularityHub.com if you want to find out how fast technology is really moving.
Let's take a break. This is Tech Talk. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2, and 103.5 FM, HD2. Our last segment follows the break. Stay with us here on Tech Talk.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Demand is great for IT professionals that can gain a security clearance. According to a recent Federal Computer Week article, federal agencies and private sector businesses that support government contracts can't get enough credentialed people to keep pace with government work. Tremendous opportunities exist for mid-career and late-career workers if they are retrained, particularly if they have had previous military service. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares students to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And the book of the week is Starting with Why, How Great Leaders Inspire. This is by Simon Sinek, and it's really a fascinating book. I love this book. He believes within a little discipline that anyone can learn to inspire. Now, you always want to start with the question why you are doing it. And if you start with the question why and have a clear idea of why you're doing what you're doing, you will be far, far more successful. If you only focus on what you're doing, you will not be nearly as successful and will impact the entire company. So you start out with why. First of all, why are you in business? Once you know why you're in business, then you figure out how can you bring the why to life. That's the how. And then once you have how you can bring the why to life, what can you produce with that how? So you go from why to how to what. Now let me just explain why this is very important, that if you've lost track of your mission, you just become a commodity and not nearly attractive. Let's take the example of somebody going on a first date. Let's just take something very practical.
There's a scary thought.
Suppose you go on the date, and so this guy goes out. He's got a very, it's a blind date, and he sits down with his blind date, and he says, she says, well, tell me about you. Let me tell you about me. I'm very rich. I've got a big house.
This is the story of Richard Shirts.
I've got like five cars. Everybody respects me. I've got the greatest suits. I'm just a fantastic guy because I'm successful in my business and I'm just getting lots of dough. Now, I'm thinking he's not going to get a second date.
Because it's all about him.
It's all about him. On the other hand, because he talked about what, the what of his life, what he had done. But if he talked about why, he says, she says, let me tell you about yourself. And he says, I'm so lucky in that I have a job that I love. I go to work every day, and I'm able to help people, and I love what I do. There's not a day goes by that I'm bored with what I do because there's a new challenge every day. I'm just thrilled with the work I do. I'm so happy. And the good thing is along the way, I make a little bit of money. Now, I've got a big house. I've got a lot of cars and all of this. But still, I'm doing what I love. So you see, he gave the same what, but he put the why first.
Right.
And so it put it in perspective.
But there's also a chapter in there that I think is very important. Communication isn't about speaking. It's about listening.
Yes.
You learn a lot more when you listen, right?
That's exactly true. Now, if you forget about the what, if you only sell the what, if a company's only selling the what, then they become a commodity. Let's just say toothpaste, for instance. Colgate used to only have two brands of toothpaste, and they're just selling toothpaste. The really goal of toothpaste is to make you more appealing and more attractive. I mean, there's more than just the toothpaste.
Right.
So they just focused on the toothpaste. So then they have toothpaste with stripes, toothpaste with fluoride. So they'd have to have new, improved toothpaste, and there was really no point to it. It was all just a gimmick. Now Colgate has 32 different toothpastes.
Yeah.
Now, actually, they're all probably about
the same.
Pretty
much the same, yeah.
But they're all gimmicks. And so they focus on the what of the toothpaste instead of the why behind the toothpaste. Now, let's give a couple examples about Apple. Apple's mission, when they first started with the Mac, they said, we want to help the small guy succeed against big business. So we're going to give him a computer that's easy to use, that he can function with very nicely, and we're going to help him compete with the big guy. So it was the small guy against the big guy. That was their why, and it was embodied in a computer. In fact, Apple changed their name from Apple Computers just to Apple because they don't want to be a computer company.
Right.
Then when they came out with the iPod, what they did there, they said, look, you've got these big record companies who's selling you albums, but you want to buy songs. So they basically came up with the iPod, and there was actually another iPod that came out 2 years earlier. They said, here's an iPod for you with 1,000 songs in your pocket. And they re-engineered how music was sold, and they gave the small guy power to buy music the way he wanted to buy it, a song at a time,
right,
and not as an album.
Right.
Yet again, the small guy against the big record company. When they came out with the iPhone, before the iPhone, all the carriers would determine what features you would have. And they would get a handset. They'd say, I don't want to give you Wi-Fi. And they would just X off all the features. So the users were sort of held hostage by the cell phone companies. When Apple came out with the iPhone, they made the carriers follow their rules and offer what they wanted to. AT&T was the first one to do that. So yet again, it was a way for the user to take on the big cell phone. So Apple never lost the why behind the what, and that's why they're so successful. This is a great book, Start With Why by Simon Sinek. Listen, the show's almost over. Go to techtalk@stratford.edu. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu. We love your emails. Make certain to go to Tech Talk Online and get the podcast. And, of course, go to stratford.edu and let them know you heard about them on Tech Talk.
And we'll see you next week here on Tech.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
Caps on the air at 3 o'clock today. Nats and the Pirates at 6:35. Cloudy, maybe a shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. It is 48 degrees at 10 a.m.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, a program dedicated to securing your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Now, here's your host, Wayne Zell.
Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients